When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Stay warm and save every day, all in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices, save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas mini bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast. Thank you for joining me. This episode is definitely different than any of the other episodes we've done, I think, ever. Really don't talk too much about dog training because it's not necessary. This person has four dogs, and they were all going to be euthanized and given up on, and this person brought these dogs in and is doing a fantastic job, and it's really just about organizing thoughts and organizing how to keep these dogs happy and healthy and how to potentially rehome them. And it's sad, and I hope that it brings motivation and also hopefully that it brings some information on other people who are struggling with dogs that are fighting in the same home. I think it's a great podcast, and I hope you guys enjoy this. Right now on Spotify, if you're listening to this on Spotify, you guys can actually comment on Spotify. I just realized that I started diving into our analytics here on Spotify because they made it easier. And you guys can comment if you want. So I'll see you guys in the comments if you want. But yeah, thank you guys for listening as always. I hope you enjoy this podcast, and we'll talk to you on the next one.
Hello,
this is Tom.
Hi, Tom. It's Coyote. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Mixed emotions. I'm doing well, but got a lot going on.
You know, that's how a lot of these conversations typically start, so it's okay.
Sure.
All right, so talk to me. What's going on? What's the stress about here?
So I'll try to make a long story short. back in July of 23, I had lost my 17-year-old dachshund. Excuse me. To an accident. It was my fault. so I carried a lot of guilt about that. I got really depressed. And in my depression, I was doom scrolling through TikTok. And I came across this post of 35 dogs that were going to be euthanized in the morning. My bleeding heart couldn't help but attempt to save some of them. So I rescued one and had her shipped up from Texas. And we instantly fell in love. She was a great dog. I absolutely love her. I have two other dogs at home, and I anticipated giving her the week or whatever of days to decompress and be alone, and she wanted none of that. She wanted to be a part of the pack. She pushed in the house. She wanted to be part of it. Everything was great. It was going well for 2 weeks, no problems. Then my stupidity, I hopped back on TikTok, and another post came up of a mom and her seven pups that were going to be killed. So I was like, well, I can't let that happen, so I'll take them in. So I took them in thinking I was just going to find homes for the pups and then either keep the mom or eventually find a home for her. In doing that, they had the rescue that I was working with in Texas kind of tacked on another dog into that scenario. So I ended up with two dogs, the seven pups, and then three dogs that I had at home. The dog that I got, the second dog that they tacked on, she ended up being pregnant. So she ended up having 10 puppies. And
unreal.
The rescue started throwing a bunch of dogs at me. At one point, I had, I think it was 9 adult dogs and 17 puppies. So my house was full. It was absolutely chaotic. And I kind of had everybody sectioned off the best that I could, except for the larger dogs. In that, there happened to be a lot of dog fights. And it kind of just destroyed the energy of the house. So my two original dogs, I had a girl and a boy. The boy is very fearful, reactive, very triggered by a lot of things. He's a healer hound mix. Might have some pit in him as well. So he would kind of herd the dogs and nip them and to get them to go faster or whatever. And that just turned into absolute mayhem. I've been caught in so many dog fights, 10 dogs at a time, trying to throw dogs all over the place. I gotten many stitches and lots of trauma over the past year and a half that I put myself through this. Finally, I've gotten myself down to just having 4 dogs. Unfortunately, now I have to keep my pack somewhat separated. The first one that I rescued, the one that I am the most in love with, she is the biggest problem. I don't know her full story. I don't know all of her triggers. I know she was used as a puppy mill mom. And when they were done with her, they just put her out on the street and she got captured and put into a kill shelter. She was literally about to be euthanized. She was in the room to be euthanized before I got her. She knows this. She's very connected to me. She's obsessed with me. I'm equally obsessed with her, but I can't spend the time that I want to with her because I keep her. I don't know if you can see upstairs. She is upstairs right now. And then I have my other dogs downstairs, which is now a pack of 3 and then the 1. The 3 typically get along very well. except randomly, my 2 girls will get into fights. So they will play and have a lot of fun. They're pit mixes. So they will play. They'll do that pit growl. They'll get along. And then it'll turn into a fight. The last time that happened was back in September. And they started the fight. And I heard it happen. And I knew this is when all of my pack was still together, all 4 of them. The big one, Mahana, she's the one I keep separated. I knew she was coming out to be a part of this because I realized her triggers are dogs in distress. As soon as she hears a dog yelp or make any sound of being in pain or anything like that, she needs to go into full attack, kill mode. She will destroy them. So I kind of turned to make sure that she didn't get in to be a part of this, the fight. And in doing so, I reached out to stop her, which was my stupidity, obviously. She bit me on the forearm. I jumped back. I reached for a second to pull her back. She bit me in the hand and ripped open my hand. I ended up needing 20 stitches on my hand, and I still don't have full use of my fingers from it. After I decided to keep them all separate, but the trainers that I was working with and the rescue that I was working with told me I needed to euthanize her, and I contemplated it for a minute and was just like, there's no way that I can do that. Like, I'm so attached to this dog. Ugh, excuse me. And the thought of that just destroyed me. It was literally a year, almost to the date of losing my dachshund, and I was just not ready to put a dog down. So I've just controlled her situation, or so I thought. So I keep her separate, and everything's been fine for 5 months. I haven't had any issues. I thought life was good. I thought we were fine as long as I was working on training with her, and I wasn't sure if I would ever be able to reintegrate her into my pack. But I knew that she was the focus and she was the one that I needed to work on the most. My other ones I thought were fine. The other day, we were all taking a nap on the couch. I was coming down with something, so I wasn't feeling well. Everybody was chill, so I just hopped on the couch and took a little nap. Everybody was fine. I was then woken up to those 2 girls killing each other. They were just latched onto each other by the neck, by the face, like blood-curdling screaming. I hopped up as fast as I could, tried to rip them apart, and then my 3rd dog, he gets involved because he's just reactive to anything and needs to be a part of it. So after wrestling the 3 of them apart and throwing one out the door and trying to get them shut and her running back in for seconds and me just being in complete mayhem, I finally got them all separated. They've been separated since, and they don't want to be. They want to be near each other. I'm just petrified to have any more of these situations. Ugh. Sorry.
It's okay.
It's been a very traumatic year with these dogs.
Yeah, sounds like it. So right now you have the 4 dogs, and Mahana, yes. Mahana's the female that's separated from the other 3. The other, correct. They're all females, all 4?
I have 3 girls and 1 boy.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Okay. So let me ask you this. What's your goal? Like,
I don't want the dogs anymore. That's my goal. I'm so over it. Like, it's just so stressful. They have me held hostage. I literally can't go anywhere. I live up in the woods of Maine. I can't have a babysitter come because I cannot even think about somebody else being put into this situation if it were to happen.
All right. Okay.
So my ideal plan honestly, is I would love to take a road trip with Mahana. That was the original goal. That's where I was supposed to be right now, but plans fell through and now I'm back stuck here. The fourth dog that I have, she was the first mama dog with the pups that I rescued. My plan was always to find her a home, but she's a very specific dog, and I haven't had anybody apply to take her that I felt would be the right place for her. So I've just kept holding on to her until I could find the right home. I would love to find her the right place, but I can't. I'm not going to bring her to a shelter. I'm not going to dump her somewhere. I'm going to try my best to find her the place. But until that happens, I can't have the four separate packs or three that I have right now. It's very stressful. They're all in different parts of the house. I got to make sure everything's shut, like gates are shut. I can't take the chance of having a door unlatch or something happen. My immediate goal is to reintegrate the pack of three. But one, I mean, they still have some injuries, so I was kind of just waiting. It's been about 5 days. So I was waiting for them to heal a little bit more before I reintroduce them. But the girls really want to be near each other. They whine to see each other. They sit as close as they can to where they think the other one is. I don't know. I don't know how, like, I don't know what provoked them. There was no treat. There was no bone. There was no ball. There was nothing around. It had only been maybe a half an hour that I was possibly asleep for. So I don't know what could have provoked this issue. And I don't know how to avoid it happening in the future. I typically have the two girls sleep downstairs together, and then I take the boy and Mahana upstairs, and we sleep up there. I don't want to keep them separate. I feel bad that I already have the two girls alone, and they don't get to have time with me as much as possible. So I spend my days downstairs and then my nights upstairs, and it's just really stressful to try to divide myself and give them all the attention that they deserve and need. I don't know. I'm just so over. I really don't have another fight in me. It's such a traumatic experience to go through. And I just don't know how to avoid it and what to do to move forward.
Okay. So I would, I'll kind of give you where my thoughts are at. I think that you should do the best, and I know that you already have, but it's definitely going to be the best if you can find another home for any of the dogs that you feel like you can separate from. And I know that you're trying with at least one of them. And like you said, it's just finding the right home. But here's the thing, though, is like you have to be you also have to understand that this is a very stressful situation. But having four dogs, even having four dogs that get along is stressful. So it's a lot, right? So it's not so much that, I mean, it is that they're fighting. That's what's pushing you over the edge for sure. But I'm just saying, like, having four dogs and taking care of four dogs is a full-time job. And so the fact that they're fighting just makes it that much harder. So I think I'm just saying this because I don't want you to be too hard on yourself where they're fighting and you feel like, you know, that's really adding the stress. And it is. But I will just say, like, having four dogs in general is a task. So what I would be doing is I would pull back because I feel like dog owners get into this space of overwhelmed situations where they can't really find the clarity. They can't really find their way out of these situations, right? Where it's like, where do I do from here? And here's what I would do is, first of all, understand that, you know, these dogs are living a better life with you than they would have if they were dead, and they would have if they were in a kill shelter, and they probably wouldn't be alive anymore if they were in a kill shelter. So with that being said, like, don't put so much. It's kind of like the old saying of you can't pour something from an empty spout, right? Like, meaning you're the one that has to keep things afloat. And if you're to the point where you're on E and you're running out of fumes and you're so stressed that you can't, you're not going to be able to take care of them the way that you want to. So my personal opinion in the beginning is to take a step back and go, all right, I need to regain my life back here. I need to regain my ability to be a human and to be able to, like, enjoy my life more than I am now. Right. And so I would be doing a lot of crating with the dogs. We can talk about that in a moment. If you are doing it, we'll talk about it. If you're not, we can talk about it. But I was talking to somebody the other day. We have board and trains that come over from all over the country that do a board and train with us. Typically, they have behavioral issues. They're fearful, they're aggressive, they're reactive. Sometimes not. Sometimes they're just there for basics. But my point is we'll have 12 to 13 of those dogs in the same building literally 365 days a year, just constantly board and train, rotate. And something to think about is that there is a reality of if you have that many dogs, what's the reality of keeping them in certain areas? And it doesn't have to be a crate. The crate just makes it safer for you, safer for them. It gives you the ability to take a breath and be able to like go and be a human and watch a movie or take a nap without having this constant stress, right? And I know that you have them separated and I'm sure that you have them safe in those areas. That just the crate just makes it easier. But my point is even... So this is necessary. When you have that many dogs, separating them is necessary for their safety and for your safety, because you're not going to be able to, if dogs don't like each other, they're not going to be able to coexist without conflict. And that's animal kingdom. Like, that's not even like, oh, you made a mistake or you're doing the wrong things or you didn't do this training or you didn't do that training. It sounds like you have a bunch of dogs who have been given a crappy life, right? So they probably have poor genetics. They probably didn't get great socialization. They were probably abused and basically left for dead. So now you have all these kind of misfits living with one another that don't really get along with other dogs for those reasons. And you're trying to make everything work. But I feel like you're trying to take a square and put it in a round hole where you need to take a step back and really advocate for yourself. So that way you can have a better quality of life, because the moment you have a better quality of life, it ultimately will be better for them. Because right now everything is a chore. You're like waking up like, oh shit, I got to go, you know, go through this today, and you don't want to. And I just feel like dog owners make it so hard on themselves to, and you, listen, you're obviously an amazing person for saving these dogs from death. I mean, there's, you know, you have to give yourself more grace in these times of stress where you're like, one more fight and I don't know what I'm going to do, right? Or even the thought of you, you know, euthanizing a dog that you saved from euthanasia is this crazy, you know, turn of events. And so there's that. I would just say, like, off the bat, give yourself more credit, give yourself more grace, because you're saving these dogs. And shelters and rescue groups are notorious for kind of like sticking their foot into your door. And I get it. Like, they need a human body to take these dogs unless they're going to die. And they are, if they get a little wiggle room, they're just shoving dogs into your home.
So, I'm a sucker.
Yeah, exactly. And they know that. Like, they know, like, oh, and my mom does the same thing. She does the same thing. She fosters and they just pile her with dogs. She's like, all right, I'm going to be done for the month. And they'll just call her and say, hey, we got this. And it's like, you know, it's this Groundhog's Day. So that's the first thing I want to say is you need to take a step back and be like, all right, even if they have to do what we call in the dog training world, a crate and rotate, they're still living a better life than if they were dead, right? So that's the first thing I would say is segregation for these dogs is going to give you the mental health that you need to be, because if you're stressed all the time and in this constant state of despair and anxiety of like, what's going to happen next? What fight are you going to have to break up next? There's no point in having these dogs. Like, what's the point? You're killing yourself over it. So that's what I would say is the first thing I would be doing, and we could talk about it, is making sure that you have safe places for them. And it could be other rooms and stuff. That's fine. I'm just saying, like, the crate is just the isolated area. Like, one of my dogs is in the crate right now eating lunch because we just went out and we played and he ran around and I'm coming down to work and my wife's doing other things. And so, boom, he's in the crate. He's going to take a nap. He's great. Now, that's just, you know, I only have two dogs. I've had three before, but I understand that the rotation is important. So, my roadmap for you, just without, we'll get into it, but I would just say, like, off the cuff would be give yourself grace. Second, organize safety, because the number one thing that's causing the stress with you is fights. And if dogs are together, there's, there is a, there is a, I don't want to say likelihood, because it sounds like they're better with each other more than they're not. So if they're together a month and then one day out of the month, so let's say one out of 30, whatever, they get into this fight. But the problem is we as dog owners will typically do, it's kind of like an abusive relationship where it's like, oh, I love them so much, I can't separate them. Or what you're doing right now is you're like, oh, I got to, you know, spend the day downstairs and then the nights, which is okay. It's just, you have to know when to cut things off and say, okay, if, and again, for an example, like, okay, the two girls that are fighting, or maybe the three that are, or the boy and the two girls that are all fighting, you guys are going to be separated throughout the day. And there's a ton of things that you can do with dogs that are efficient enough where you don't have to just hang out with them and kill time. Like where you're like, oh, you're with me, I'm happy, you're happy. Like there's other things that you can do, like training and treadmill exercises and brain games and stuff like that. So I would be trying to get rid of rehoming one of the other dogs that you feel like you can let go of. The other thing that's really helpful for that is getting a good foundation on the dog of obedience. Many people want to adopt a dog that has some sort of manners. We could talk about that in a moment. And then again, just separating the dog so you have a schedule in your head where you go, okay, in the morning, it's going to be I'm not saying that you have to crate and rotate every second of the day, right? I'm just saying, you know, maybe you can say, oh no, I can bring the two girls out, no problem. They're going to go potty. They're going to do their thing. Or the girl, one of the girls and one of the guys, one of the boy dogs, whatever. You just have to create this synergy of like, these dogs have to go out and then they have to go back in for breakfast. I mean, again, look at like a board and train for my facility. There's somebody who opens in the morning and they come in and they let out, you know, they start at like 5 a.m. and they start letting dogs out at 5 a.m. and they're not done till 9, letting dogs out and giving breakfast and medications. And, you know, it takes hours. And so that's like, that's a professional, people pay for that, right? People pay for that because then we come in and we start training. It's this very structured routine thing and the dogs are getting work. And so my point is there's absolutely zero guilt or zero guilt. Guilt's a good word to put it, that you should be having if you're saying, hey, all right, listen, guys, in your head, like I saved all you guys. And now I have to do what I have to do to make sure everybody can stay alive, right? Which is going to be this rotation. It's going to be time in with this dog. Then you're in the crate. And then we're going to grab this dog and they're in the crate. And then it's you time. And then whatever you do for work, it would be, you know, whatever. So that's just where I would start. The training we can talk about granularly in a moment. But here's the thing that I'm hearing from you is it's not that, oh, well, my dog's not coming back. My dog's pulling. It's, you have too much going on and you need dog training, but you need organization more than anything. So
I was really crate and rotate over the summer. And when I had the four of them together, then after the last fight, I was like, fuck this. I'm not doing this. I'm keeping the big one up there because she's just too dangerous. That was when everybody told me to euthanize her. Because she bit me, but it wasn't that she was attacking me. She just really wanted to be a part of this fight, and I decided to try to stop a freight train with my bare hands. And I know that I was stupid in what I was doing, but had she gotten to be a part of that fight, it would have been absolute mayhem. That I probably would have had close to a dead dog, if not really severely injured. And I've spent almost $30,000 in that year on surgeries and elective surgeries or emergency surgeries or and everything. It cost me a lot. And I'm not about to keep just spending thousands of dollars every time they get into a fight. So I do rotate them in a sense that I'll bring the boy upstairs to be with Mahana. And then the girls, I mean, they've been so good that I haven't needed to crate Dash. I was crating her.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the most, because she's so energetic. She was 2 years old when I got her. She's about three now. All of my other dogs are six. So her puppy energy was so much that I would crate her, put her away to kind of chill the energy out, and then I was back to my two original dogs that I had before I got into this mess. And everything was fine, and I didn't really feel the need to have to put Dash in a crate so much because she wasn't so crazy, she wasn't so energetic, and I didn't have that fear of Mahana reacting to her energy and then having the four in a big gang fight. So I haven't needed to use the crate as much, and they really, I mean, Dash and Luna, the two girls, are obsessed with each other. They are like best friends. Once Luna lays down, Dash is on top of her. Wherever she can to touch her, she just wants to be near her. So I felt terrible, like, breaking them away from that. I was honestly hoping I could rehome them together. And then this happened, and I'm like, I can't, in good conscience, give that to somebody else to, accidentally happen, because I don't know what causes it. So now I'm back to square one of trying to find a home for the two of them individually. But it's really hard where I'm at. I live very rurally. I don't have the connections, but it's basically posting on Facebook and finding some person who's like, yeah, I'll take it, but like, I want to do a house visit. I want you to come here and meet them. I want to make sure that everybody gets along and it's going to be the right situation, and you're not then getting rid of her and trying to find a new home because she didn't work out for you. And I know that I'm a little overprotective and I need to loosen up a little bit and maybe give it a try, but I just feel like, I don't know, I am protective over them. I don't want to have them go into the wrong situation. So I keep trying to find the right home, but I don't really have an outreach to do that. I can't put them on Pet Finder without being an actual rescue. I just don't have the options. It's a little harder where I am to find them homes. So I've just been like, okay, I'll hold on to them until the right person comes along. But I don't know how that's going to happen given where I am and having no outreach.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, well, you have to understand too, is you're trying to rehome a dog that, you know, isn't like a purebred puppy, you know, it's harder. And so, like you said, you have to let your guard down a little bit because, you know, the amount of stress that you're having to go through because your standards are really high to rehome a dog. Like, you got to think of the next fight. If it happens, it's like, man, that one person, this might not have happened with this one person, or you know what I mean? So like, I don't have to tell you that because you already said that, but you do have to, I mean, look at what the rescue did. I mean, they're like, hey, you're a human. You have a roof over your head. Here's 10 dogs. They don't give a shit. So I would just say, it's your choice, but I just find that people get into this anyway, this like rushing game, right? Where it's like this, I got to find this person. And I just think like you're doing a good job at what you're doing. And I think you let your guard down and that's it. You know, you gave the two dogs, and I've seen this. So it's interesting. And I can't really put my finger on it. But I've seen this before where dogs will be obsessed with each other and then like this thing happens, right? And sometimes it's just like a screw loose. Sometimes it's also a correction that goes too far, right? Like for an example, just to give you, I mean, you're dealing with a lot of different things, right? You're dealing with lifestyle help, right? Which is what we're talking about. But there's also like this granule training that we can dive into in behavior. Again, like my Mastiff, he's just turned one. I have a Dutch Shepherd. She's about nine. And every probably 120 days, I'd say every 3 months, maybe 3.5 months, maybe even 4 months, she'll correct him for something. Like, they're fine. Like, she's like sticking her whole head in his mouth and like cleaning his jowls, like super gross, like dog love stuff. And he's obsessed with her because he's like, he just loves her to death, wants to play with her. And then there's just these times where like he pisses her off or he jumps on her and hurts her because she's smaller, right? And then she just turns around and nails him. She's like, bang. You know, she doesn't hang on. She doesn't latch on. There's a couple times where she doesn't even break the skin. She just scares the shit out of him. And it sounds like, my point is sometimes when you get dogs that are so lovey towards each other and then the other one just has had enough, they'll turn around and correct the other dog. And then there's like this fight or flight thing that kicks in where the other dog's like, I thought you were going to kill me. So I fought back and now I have the upper hand. And then, you know, depending on the breed, then it's just like they see red. And the problem with that is you never know when it's going to happen. And so you're flipping a coin. But again, it's difficult for you because again, nine times out of 10, they're going to be absolutely fine. So you're like, well, they've been fine for 2 months, 2 weeks, you know, whatever. And then this one thing happens and it's really your call, but it sounds to like personally for me, I would be doing a lot of like structure. And I know living in anywhere in the Northeast right now, it hasn't stopped snowing for like 2 weeks, it seems like. So it's crazy. I understand, you know, you can't go out. I mean, I just went out for a walk today and I'm like bundled up like I'm hiking Everest. But my point is where to go from here? Because this is like more of lifestyle coaching with dogs, right? It's like, I just think you can do the play sessions and you can do the interactions with one another, but I would limit it. But if you want to end the biggest stress in your life and the worry in your life and the fear in your life of the dogs getting into it again, you actually, this is cool that you can empower yourself. You actually hold the key to that, like 100%. You know for an absolute fact, as long as you keep them separated and you do what you're doing, there's not going to be any issues. I mean, you already knew that with putting Mahana upstairs. You're like, okay, big dog's not going to fight anybody anymore. And now you're, but you got to kind of do the same thing with the other dogs. But how are they separated right now? Like, how are you, the dogs that are downstairs, how are they separated?
Cool. Let's see. So this is Luna. She's my original. And this is Cosmo, my two originals.
Okay.
So this was, they don't get crated. They've never really done that. So I didn't. Now I have this booby trap situation. So they can't see each other. And this is Dash. Oops.
So Dash is the male?
She's the female.
And then
Cosmo's the male, so it's her and Luna that just got into the fight, her and the gray one.
Okay.
And she's the youngest. She's the one, the mom with the seven pups that I rescued.
Okay, so what's your
back area to herself? So she gets this.
That's
now.
Great.
But she hates it because she wants to be with everybody else. She's a very social dog. She does not want to be separated. She's usually whining to come out here. And then Luna always cries to be at the end of the hallway near her. And I just feel bad, but I'm not ready to reintroduce them and deal with that. Although it'll probably be fine and they'll probably just sit there by themselves.
Yeah, the other thing here. Okay, so listen, you know, the dogs are happy, okay? You just have to, in your head, kind of get over what they want to do. Because it's like, yes, would they be happier laying on the bed together? Probably. Would they be happier if they had free range with each other? Probably. But, you know, you're kind of like giving yourself no ultimatum to be successful. Because in your head, you're like, well, I don't want them together because I don't want them to fight, and I don't want them separated because I don't want them to be not happy. So I would just say this, like, look at the glass half full and just be like, because that's a gray area. I mean, it's fine. It's like, hey, if you guys are going to be assholes and just fight for no apparent reason at any given time, you're going to have to be separated because I can't do this again. It's for your own good. But I think that there are ways to do it. So here's what I would say is exercising them together would be a fantastic idea. So going for walks, you know, when it gets nicer, or if you can just, I would not stress yourself out. I would get one dog and bring the other dog out together. And I'd bring them for a long walk, and they can be with each other and walk next to each other. They come in, boop, you're back in your little space. Boop, you're back in your little space. And then you can be a human and do what the heck you want to do, right? And that's how you can get them to coexist with each other with structure. It's likely when they're outside, they're going to be so excited to be outside that they're not going to have any issues, right? It's just like, oh, we're outside, we're together, this is great. So that's one thing. And then the other thing would be, if you wanted to, it sounds to me like personally, I would just keep them all separated and try to find homes for the dogs that you could let go of, and, you know, take your time, be patient, but give yourself grace. Like, you're like, I still have one dog, and, you know, I did have some interest, but it wasn't good enough. And it's like, okay, well, that's fine, but your standards are high. So you just, again, you can't like beat yourself up over that, where you're like, I know the dog's not gone yet, but it's also you're being very selective, which is nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, like, I feel like people are hard on themselves, and they shouldn't be, harder than they need to be. So that's what personally I would keep everybody separated. And if you wanted to bring them out and socialize them in little tiny packs, and you know your dogs of who would do well with each other, that would be healthy. And then if you really wanted to go, you know, to the next level, you would do muzzle training. Muzzle training sometimes is difficult, especially for dogs who've never had a muzzle. The dogs are six, so most of them are anyway. So what you do is you muzzle train a dog, over a couple weeks. It's actually very simple. So you put a muzzle on. I always do like the Baskerville muzzles, which are just, they got these big holes in them, and you can get them on Amazon. Okay. Yeah. So you just muzzle condition and say, hey, every time this comes on, you get peanut butter. Every time this comes on, you get a treat. And you just let them wear it. And then over time, the duration of having the muzzle on gets longer. And then what you can do is you can have your cake and eat it too, to say, hey, we're all going to hang out with each other. I mean, whoever, you know, whatever dogs, I know Mahana's probably out of the picture for right now, but I would just say, if the other dogs want to hang out and coexist, and if the two dogs that you feel like are the ones that are fighting, then if they're muzzled, then you're fine. But again, if they're sitting there picking at it, trying to get it off the whole time, it's like, what's the point, you know? So personally, because you have so many things going, like there's a lot of loose ends with these dogs right now. You don't even know if you're going to have them for, you know, if you find the right home or whatever, and you don't have to stress yourself out over training too much. But personally, that setup you have right now is perfect. It's beautiful. The two dogs that you know aren't going to get into it are hanging out. They're coexisting great. The other two dogs that are either the short end of the stick, they get their ass kicked and whatever, or the instigator, they're going to be separated. And you're just rotating this lifestyle with the dogs. And at the end of the day, you got to pat yourself on the back and go, well, you know what? Half these dogs would probably be dead, or I know they would be dead if it wasn't for you. And I know that we feel bad because we're not spending every single moment with them, but you're doing the best you can. And I think it's so much better than obviously the alternative. And in order to integrate them together successfully, again, I'd bring the dogs that are fighting randomly. There's a good chance when you bring them out for walks, you know, they're not gonna, or if you do muzzle condition them and you put them in motion, dogs typically move better than if they're just stiff. So if you're like, so again, like if they were my dogs, that's what I would do. I would bang, you're getting a muzzle. You're getting a muzzle. We're going on an hour walk. You're going to hang out with each other. You're going to get your energy up. We're going to come back. The muzzles are coming off. You're going in your room. You're going in your room. Now I'm going to go do what I need to do. Boom.
I know. I feel so bad. It's been over 6 months since they had an issue with each other. And like to, now muzzle them, I just feel like it's obviously a punishment, and like they do great on walks together, they enjoy each other's company, but you could do it.
It's just because you said you don't know the trigger. Here's the thing, is if another fight happens, it's your fault, because you know what I mean. So like, that's what I mean, is like, take that off your shoulders. Like, just do yourself a favor and take that off your shoulders. And I get it, it's like, but you have to outweigh these things in your head. Okay, if if I let them hang out with each other, yes, they're happier and more fulfilled, and it's easier to have three together and one separate. It is. But if they have one more fight, you know, is it going to be deadly for one of them? Like, will one of them get killed? Will you have no choice but to put one of them down? Will you get hurt? How much more money is it going to cost? Like, for me, it's like, it's a no-brainer. And I get it. It's like, it's like anything. It's like making an investment. You're like, how could this go wrong? Like, how dangerous is this investment? And if it's like, well, there's really no ROI here. Like, yes, they can hang out, but you're going to be stressed the whole time. Like, you're not going to be able to relax. You're going to be constantly, you know, walking on eggshells, looking over. And so I just think the setup that you have right now is more than enough for them to be happy, and they kind of got their space. And I would be getting them out, and I would be training with them. I'd be, you know, putting a slip leash on, getting your treat pouch out, and do mental stimulation with them, working on the basic obedience, adding the thresholds in, making sure that they don't, you know, just the basic stuff, just to give them purpose, just to give them fulfillment, just to give them a better relationship with you. And the other thing is this, not for nothing, but if you, and I talk about this with my clients all the time, if your obedience is good, you could have your cake and eat it too. Like, let's say, just judging by the piece of the home that I've seen, let's say you want to, you know, watch a movie or do some work, you know, in the middle of the day or whatever. If you have a good place downstay, you could also have everything together. It's just you tell them all, like, hey, go to your place downstay, go to your place downstay, etc. Like, you can have them all coexisting, and maybe you'll feel better because they're all out together, or at least the three of them are, and they're all on a nice downstay. And every now, hey, good stay. So the more obedience you have, the more things you can do with the dogs as well. But to me personally, because there's no trigger, it comes out of nowhere. You don't know when it's going to happen. And then you do it again and it happens, you're already at your wit's end. So it's like, I just don't think it's worth it. And I don't think you should feel bad about it. I think it's totally fair.
Trying not to. It sucks.
Does.
And I've kind of just given up and been like, fine, I guess I'll just sacrifice my life to having these dogs and not rehoming them and not do the things that I wanted to do or plan to do in life. But that's also very defeating as well. Like, it sucks. Like, I really can't do anything. Where I live, it's a far travel for me to go anywhere. So I don't like to leave them for more than 6 hours. So my ability to do anything is very limited.
What about if you wanted to do like a board and train, or even just a boarding somewhere? Like, that could...
I'd love to, but there aren't that many trainers around where I'm at. And I don't really, haven't found anybody that I really love to work with. I was working with one trainer, but I didn't like the advice when she told me I needed to put Mahana down just because she bit me. It wasn't that she came after me or wanted to bite me. I was just the thing that was stopping her from getting involved in the fight. Mahana is my main concern. She's the one I do want to work the most with because I do plan to take her with me on the road when I finally get the chance to go. And I am afraid of what she will do when she meets other dogs. She's extremely friendly. She loves to be around other dogs, but as soon as something even makes the slightest yelp, she sees red and she goes right. Now that Luna has been the one that's gotten attacked the most, she has tagged her as being the weak one. And if she was around her, she would hunt her. She would just come up behind her and she'd have her eye on her and she'd just be following her around until I took my eye off, and then she would pounce. So that's why I keep her upstairs, because I just can't take that chance.
Right.
I would love to train. I was planning on, before all this shit happened, this last one, I was planning on bringing Mahana to you in the spring when the weather was better and having us work so that I could get her to that point. Then these girls threw me completely off and just ruined my plan for what I was doing. I've been trying to work with Mahana, focusing on her because she's the big problem, not really putting the time into the other girls, because I didn't think they had an issue. I thought they were fine with each other. I figured they're well enough behaved that they could be easily rehomed and it wouldn't be a problem. But this really just messed me up because I didn't see it coming. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what could have triggered it. Like, it's crazy. And they just turn on each other so fiercely. Like, Luna lost half her ear in the last fight, and Dash went right back for that same area. So she's got her ears all torn up and her neck's torn up, and it's just, I don't know, it got overwhelming. So I would love to eventually come and do a board and train with Mahana for sure, but the other girls, I'm at the point where I just don't want them, and I didn't want them. That was the plan, was to get rid of them when the weather changed and I could do more outreaching and things like that and have people come to the house to meet them and such. But I don't know. Now I'm just in that overwhelmed state of not knowing where to go and just completely frazzled.
Well, I think you have a game plan, though. I mean, your game plan is to say, okay, well, if I need to hang on to these dogs till it gets nicer and make home visits and things more accessible, then I think right now, again, like, take a deep breath, step back and go, okay, I have to, I'm going to keep doing training. I'm going to record some videos, put it out there, and do everything you can to rehome the dogs that you are comfortable with rehoming. And until that happens, you just have to put things on hold. But I would be actively looking at continuing to do that. And you just, you know, beggars can't be choosers, right? And with what you're doing, it's like you have to, you know, you have to be patient, but you also have to be realistic about finding the right home for them, because you're also damaging your own forever. So I think that you do have a game plan. I think you've said it very clearly, is you're just going to say, okay, these two dogs or the two females or whatever are you're going to do some more outreach, and you're going to find somebody, and that's going to be the goal. And then once that happens and you find somebody to adopt the dogs, or even foster the dogs at this point, because you know, you feel like you're at your breaking point, then you can focus your training on your dog with, you know, me or whoever else, and then you can start getting into that training. But right now, I think that you just have to organize your thoughts and your roadmap and say, first of all, everyone's going to stay separate and stay safe, and I'm going to do everything I can to get you guys out and exercise you and train you and do everything that you need. And that's going to be the best life for them, because they're all chilling, like, in their beds, and they have their own little space. I mean, it's not like they're stuck in a crate or anything. Like, you're giving them an awesome life. And then I think once you just rehome those dogs, then you can start focusing on the training with Mahana and the dog that you really want to put time into, so you can travel and do other things.
Yeah. It's just still, I feel like I've been in that spot for a very long time. That's what I've been telling myself the plan has been for so long, and it just doesn't seem to progress.
Well, I feel like you're hitting this lull because of the fight that happened. But again, like, if you investigate your own problems, right? If you lay them all out, you go, okay, if I don't allow these dogs to free range with each other, there's a guarantee that they're not going to fight. Right. And that's what I think, that's the mistake you made, is this really sets you back, because this, and I tell people all the time, like, dog fights are traumatic because it's this violent, scary, loud, dangerous thing. And you're hoping not to get bit in the whole thing. And it's, in these animals, and it sucks to see. I don't even like watching, when I was a kid, like watching National Geographic of like animals getting killed. I couldn't stand it, right? So then you get these dogs that are trying to hurt each other in front of you, and they're crying and there's blood. It's just, it is traumatic. So my point is like, I feel like, again, you need to let go and be like, okay, you haven't earned, like, you have not earned, like, you ruined it. Like, you ruined your chance. Like, now you're going to be separated. And I think that, you know, once you are okay with that, I think things will get better. But again, like, the reason why you're here now mentally is because of that fight.
It's the whining for each other, though, that drives me crazy. Like, that one irritates me just because I can't stand the sound of it. And yeah. Two, it pulls my heartstrings because I'm like, well, fuck you guys. Sorry. Like, you lost right. Your opportunity to get the chance to be, you did this to yourselves. Like, and I feel bad, and I know they want to be near each other, but it's just not something that I want to deal with anymore. So I feel bad, and, like, it gives me anxiety because I just feel like I'm already anxious, and then I have them making the sound of them being anxious, and then I feel bad that they can't be near each other, but I don't know. It's just a stressful situation of their anxiety and my anxiety, and I know they want to be near each other, and the chances of them being fine together are greater than the chance of them hurting you. but it's just not something I want to deal with. And I feel bad about it. Like, I feel terrible. And like I said, I trying to rehome them. I don't want it to say that they have to be a one dog home because they're both very social animals. Dash would be terrible by herself. Like, she really needs to be around another animal. But what is, I don't know her trigger. I don't know what causes her to do that. And I would feel terrible putting her in another person's home without that being figured out. So it's like, I don't know. I talk myself out of it all the time because I find all these excuses why it's not going to be good for them. And fine, I can just deal with it and just put myself in the situation with somebody else. And I just don't really know how to end the cycle of talking myself out of it.
Yeah, and I think as long as you're honest too. And the other thing is you could also be a trigger. You know, so there's that, like, once you're not involved, there is a possibility that it never happens. And also, you know, not for nothing, it's not as big of a pool, but like, if you found somebody that doesn't have other animals, that would be, you know, ideal. But yeah, I think you just have to let go of the things that you know that you need to let go of. And as long as you're honest to say, hey, like, once a year, for whatever reason, this dog decides to lash out. I don't really know why, but I just want to let you know, like, she's genuinely fine with other dogs. And, you know, again, like, you could also be the trigger. It could be the other dog being the aggressor too. I mean, it's tough to say, but if you stay in this coulda, woulda, shoulda, it's like, you're never going to get out.
I know. And I feel like I've just been in this purgatory for so long. Like, it's just, literally, Groundhog Day is the same. Nothing is changing. I am just, like, wasting my life away alone in this massive house with these dogs that trigger me and cause this anxiety. And I'm just not progressing in any area of life right now because I'm just stuck in this
condition. Yeah. Well, listen, I think everybody in one way, shape, or form, they get into that. And you know, I get there too. In different parts of my life where I'm like, I need change. I need to do something different. It's not with dogs, you know, it's with other things in life, whether it's business or whatever. And I think for you, you have to just really advocate for yourself and advocate for the dogs to say, like, I need to let you go. I need to break up with this unhealthy relationship. I love you. I saved your life. And now it's somebody else's job to you know, keep everybody okay. And I think that's where you need to, I mean, you know what you need to do. It's just doing it is hard. And I understand that. And I have empathy for that because getting rid of an animal can be really difficult. But again, it's like, there's so many what ifs. And like I said, as long as you're honest and just say, like, hey, this is the deal. I think that you're responsible in doing everything that you can. But you know what you need to do. It's just doing it and following through with it, because I don't think that the dogs are ever, you know, at some point it's going to crack again, right? Like, at some point it's going to happen again, and it's going to be, and then you're going to be to a point where you might have to euthanize, because it just, you know, the other dog is hurt so bad and it's $50,000 to whatever. And then you're going to, you know, imagine, you don't, you've dealt with guilt before and you know how it is, and you don't put yourself through that again, you know, because that's like the recipe that you're doing. And I would just say, there is an out here. There is an out. It's going to take some time, but there is an out to say, like, free your mind of what you're dealing with and say, I'm going to rehome this dog and this dog or whatever. And you're going to do all the outreach you can. You're going to boost posts on Facebook for other areas. And maybe you bring her to the home if people are an hour or whatever away. And then that way you can regain your life back. And that's what you need to do.
Yeah. It's just the how, though. That's where I get hung up, because my real only option is putting them on, like, Facebook groups. And I've been doing that, and I either don't get any responses, or the people that respond are not quality people, and I just keep talking myself out of it, because I'm like, well, how am I going to find the right situation if my only option is putting them on Facebook? And, like, that's just not the best pool of people to choose from. I don't know where from there to find the quality or even quantity of people that I can reach out to.
Yeah.
So getting in the same loop.
Yeah, it's tough because the problem is there's so much competition. Like, everyone wants to get rid of dogs. Shelters, fosters, rescues, everyone is trying to get rid of dogs. And so my suggestion for you would be to go to like a – well, I mean, I always just look up things, you know, in depth to see like how you can outreach even more. But I mean, there's ways that you can do it. Like, I would be posting in like the bigger cities and just say like willing to travel if interested, you know, the Craigslist and the neighborhood groups. That's what I would be doing. And also just have a little bit of urgency here to just be like, hey, desperate need of a home, like, you know, no adoption fee, trained, you know, or like comes with training, like you could gift them, like, you know, whatever. I mean, you just have to get creative. I mean, basically you're trying to say like, hey, this dog doesn't work in my home and I'm hoping it works somewhere else. And you just have to get creative and you have to do a little bit more to get the dog into the right home.
Yeah. It's just getting out of my own way and doing it.
That's right. You know, and that's up to you. You know, it's like that with every person. Like, it doesn't, it's like that with every person for every different thing. It's like those decisions to do are uncomfortable and you don't want to do it, but you're only going to be hurting yourself. And sounds to me, you're going to be hurting the dogs like long-term if you don't, you know, just commit to that and just cut ties and be like, all right, I need to do this. Because the moment you decide that you're going to do it and the next suitable person who inquires about the dog within reason, you know, that's going to be it. And you're going to be able to grow.
I'll do my best. I'll see what I can do. I hope I find people for them, because otherwise I don't know where to go from there.
Well, I think right now you're doing everything you can. I mean, don't give yourself a time limit either. Don't be like, well, if they're not gone by next week, I don't know what I'm going to do. I would just say, hey, look, they're crate and rotate right now. Everything's fine. Like, don't walk on eggshells. Like, put them in their place. Put them in the areas that they need to be successful. And that's the way you live. I mean, there's a lot of people who live like that, not by choice, but because they have to, right? If you have like working dogs, dogs who historically just don't like people or don't like dogs, like even police dogs, they're kenneled up, you know, they're not out. Like, and I know that that's not the life you signed up for. I'm just saying, like, you have to look at it a little bit objectively and zoom out a little bit and go, yeah, you know, like, yeah, I rescued these dogs and they're not getting along and I'm going to keep them happy and alive. Could they be happier together? Sure. But they'd also sometimes be happier hurting each other. And so you're going to keep them separated. And I think right now they're absolutely fine. Like, they're totally fine. Like, they got the cool beds and comfortable and they're totally fine. You're doing everything right.
Cool. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I just, you know, I wish you the best of luck, and you know what you need to do, and you know, you just have to do it. And I wish I could help more. It's, you know, everybody has a dog that they need to get rid of and that they want to get rid of. And it's really tough, you know, and I just think, you know, you just have to do everything you can. But until then, you know, you got four dogs. It's tough. Like, even if you had four dogs that all loved each other, they were all $2,000 golden doodle puppies that you imported from another country, you would still be stressed. You would still be picking up poop and puke and getting the socks out of their mouth. And it's still a lot of stress, right? So, like, give yourself more grace. These are four dogs and most of them don't get along. So it's double the work. But just understand, like, it's a lot. Like, four dogs is a lot. Even if they were all couch potatoes, it's still a lot. It's easier, but I think things could be worse.
Well, hopefully in the spring I can come work with you with Mahana so that we can get her under control, because I absolutely love that dog and I can't imagine not having her or putting her down. She's an amazing dog. She's just had a shitty hand and deserves a better chance. An opportunity to show the world who she is.
Yeah, sounds like it. Well, I'll be there. I look forward to it, and I wish you the best of luck moving forward with everything.
Thank you. I appreciate your videos and everything. It's definitely helped a lot. And
cool.
Appreciate dogs in the community.
Cool. Thank you so much. Have a good night, and give yourself a pat on the back and meditate or breathe or do whatever you need to do to just, you're doing great. You're doing great. All right.
Okay.
Good luck.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right. Bye.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.